Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
Lord and His strength, seek His face always. Remember the Lord, the wonders that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
You may have had a moment like this before, where there are a couple of things that you just feel instantly. Instantly, maybe something happens and you feel just that pit in your stomach of frustration, and then instantly you feel like you have to act. It's been a few years ago, but during the time I was working on my dissertation, I had about two or three chapters printed off that I'd taken home, and I was going through and trying to proofread and trying to move things around just the way that I liked it. And it was a Sunday afternoon, and I parked over here on this side of the parking lot, and I was walking from the side where the doctor's office is into the office entrance. And I did something I've done a lot. I tried to walk into the office with too many things in my arms. I had some books, I had my bag, I had the papers in one hand, and I didn't realize that the papers were sliding down right here. I also hadn't stopped to consider how windy it was that day. And if you've ever been in that area, it's almost like a wind tunnel when you start seeing wind come through. And so as I was trying to get into the office door and get my key out, the papers all slid from my hand, and immediately a gust of wind fanned them out in multiple directions, and I saw all of these pieces of paper that I'd worked so carefully on just all sort of flying around. Now, I had it all saved on my computer, but I hadn't yet saved all the edits that I'd made, and so I really wanted those. And so, of course, what happens when you see them fly in all the different directions is you realize I'm going to have to chase after every one of these in order to get them. And every time you go up to a piece of paper that's floating away, as soon as you get there, the wind could completely stop and you could get almost up to it. That wind is going to blow again and it's going to fly off. And so I had to develop a system of running up to the piece of paper and before doing anything else, just stepping on it so it wouldn't go anywhere, right? You had to have some weight on it. And evidently, I looked pretty pitiful because there was a lady that drove by who I didn't know, has never met me before, but thought, this guy needs some help. So she pulled over, and I look around, and she's running after these pieces of paper, and she's stomping on them so we could keep them in one place. And so it took a while. We were able to collect them all. Two things had been accomplished. We had placed shoe prints on essentially every one of the pieces of paper. And we provided a great deal of entertainment to anyone stopped at that stoplight that was just sort of watching us run around. We know what it's like when something blows through, if there's not anything there to support it, if there's not some weight, if there's not something solid, it can kind of just blow away. An 8.5 by 11 piece of paper doesn't have enough substance to it to keep it grounded. That wind can just blow it any direction that it wishes. I think that's probably one reason in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus described what kind of foundation the wise man was going to build his home on, what kind of foundation we should build our lives on. It was something solid. We need that foundation of His Word. But it also seems to me that God has given us not just a solid foundation, but God's also given us pillars that can sort of help us keep our lives grounded when the wind whips through and when storms arise. We're starting this morning a series over the next several weeks where we're focusing on worship and why worship really matters, because it does matter. And when we think about the weight that worship gives us, sometimes we look at weight in a negative way. We say we feel weighed down or we're having to drag a weight or a burden. But the weight of worship is positive in the sense that it keeps us grounded. It keeps us solid when there are times when storms are raging around us. There's something about coming together to worship that can keep us grounded. It's one of those pillars that God has given us. It's a thread we see run throughout Scripture. Those who worship God do so as a way of training and focusing their minds where they need to be. How many times have you been just wrestling with an issue in life? And when you come to worship, and when you hear the words of the songs that they sing, they just seem to put things in a different perspective. Or maybe it's a Wednesday night and it's been a hard week, and you're pulling into the church building and you've had all kinds of things happening all day and you're exhausted, but there's something about coming together, there's something about being with Christians and focusing on God that seem to get our lives back on track. God's given us some pillars to keep our lives together, and I believe that one of those is worship. It's fascinating to consider what happens when we come together to worship, and specifically this morning, as we think about when we come together to sing. What's taking place? What is it that we're doing as we sing and as we praise God that's giving us that grounding, that's keeping us firmly where we need to be? We have songbooks in our pews. We have songs on the screen. I wonder when the last time was we've stopped to consider that when we look at those songbooks, when we think about the songs we sing, those are some pillars that have been reminders of faith, not just for our generation, but for generations before. As we look at the beginning of Christianity, as we look at the beginning of the church in the first century, and we see the importance that they placed on being together and on worshiping together, historians tell us that for the first several centuries, songs that were sung by Christians were probably different than what you and I would think of today. There would be a lot more call and response, or one group singing one thing and one group singing another. And as historians trace back some of the ways in which singing and songs have been handed down, when you get to the medieval era, you have songs that are sometimes referred to as Gregorian chants. But you also have some words that were written during that time that still bless the lives of many people today. And so I've asked John David to come and to help us as we focus on our singing this morning. We're going to be singing one of the songs written during that era and then matched with a tune from Bach, O Sacred Head. As JD leads us in singing that together, let's remember how many years, how many generations this has been a pillar and a blessing in the lives of others. In the 1500s, the Reformation started to question a lot of traditions that had been established. And one of the main names you'll read in the history books is Martin Luther, but he also was a prolific hymn writer during this time, publishing 10 hymnals, and he would take familiar tunes, even sometimes tunes that had been sung in bars, and give them spiritual meaning and a spiritual verse to try to take this familiar tune and infuse it with something more. One of the most famous songs that is known by Martin Luther is A Mighty Fortress. As we sing this together, let's think about the faith and the victory that's present in the words of this song. After that time, if you're looking through history, one of the key names that comes up in the writing of hymns is Isaac Watts, often referred to as the father of English hymnody. I've always liked the story that's told about Isaac Watts complaining to his father about the words to the songs that they were singing, and his father challenging him, if he's going to complain, to come up with something better. And so we see the beginnings, the seeds of the songs that he wrote. Many of them we still sing today. He wrote during a time, as I understand it, when people were often reluctant to sing words that weren't taken directly from a psalm. And so in some of the songs that he penned, especially verse 2 of the one we're going to sing, it kind of brings it into focus when we sing the words of "We're marching to Zion, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God." It's powerful to think about the message here. As we sing this song, I'd encourage us, as we focus on the words, to just think about how many different generations have been blessed by it and how many times we've been blessed as we've sung this song together. In the era following that one, the spirit of revivalism and songs that were often sung in outdoor revivals became prominent. Charles and John Wesley are well known for writing during this period, and later in this period, gospel songs were used, and one prolific author is Fanny J. Crosby, and one of her most well-known songs is Blessed Assurance. And I appreciate so much John David for helping us in this focus. He's going to lead us in a couple of verses of this song, and I want us just to reflect on the blessing we have of being able to share in that assurance together. After that time period, when we get into the 20th and the 21st centuries, there's movement back to some of the classic hymns, but also writing of new songs and songs that we've been singing as a congregation that we've sung even this morning. As we reflect on the generations who have sought out a pillar to keep them grounded in worship and song, it's good for us to embrace songs that were written generations before our time and songs that are written in our time. It's a powerful way for us to maintain our focus. And so as we enter into this series on worship, I want us to begin by asking this question: how can I keep from singing? Sometimes we approach it and we say, okay, when we're talking about worship, we need to get into some of the technical areas. How do we do it, and what do we need to know about it? And those questions are important. We'll talk about those questions. But it begins by understanding the why question. I'm convinced that if I understand why I'm worshiping, if I have a clear understanding, a clear knowledge of why I'm doing that, some of these other questions will help take care of themselves. It'll put everything into perspective if I just know why I'm here. And it seems to me one of the messages we get when we look at people who are worshiping God in song, it's almost as if they can't keep from doing that. You almost think about the prophet Jeremiah with the fire shut up in his bones, that he can't contain it, he can't hold it in. It's this idea that I have something that's happened in my life and I just can't help but express it in song. How can we keep from singing? Here are a couple of things for us to reflect on this morning. How can we keep from singing as Christians? How can I keep from singing when I know who God is? When I know who the God I serve truly is, I sing because I understand His nature. There are a lot of ways that God is described in the Old Testament, different ways to help us get a glimpse of His love for us. One of those is the description that Zephaniah gives us of a victorious warrior. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. This was the picture of a God who cares for His people, who rejoices, who exults. When we get to the book of Revelation and this prophetic imagery around the throne, we see that same kind of rejoicing, except now we see it come from those in the presence of God. There's something about being in His presence that causes us to praise Him. If I know who God is, then the question isn't, should I sing or not? The question is, how could I keep from singing? How could I stop myself when I understand the nature of God? It may be that if I'm having a tough day or a tough morning, a tough time focusing on our singing together, maybe just reminding myself that I'm in the presence of God could help motivate my singing. And not only do we know God's nature, we also know His blessings. God is the one who has given us all that we have. So you could go back to Exodus 15 when they march through the Red Sea on dry ground and they realize what God has done. What do? They praise Him. They praise Him in song. Even when Paul's writing to Christians in the first century, he's writing to a group of people that are praising God in song. And the verses that we have, and we'll be going over those in the next couple of weeks, often we approach these verses and are thinking about some of the other questions about worship when we need to stop and begin with the fact that when Christians came together, they couldn't hold in their worship of God because of what He had blessed them with. Duane read the 105th Psalm, the first few verses for us. And you saw how closely connected the work of God was to what the psalmist was urging them to sing about. And that's characteristic of the Psalms, that because of what God's done, we should sing. Tell of his wonderful works. Remember the wondrous works he has done. It wasn't only a way to praise God, it was a way to say out loud what God has done for us. Now, anything we do can become routine, and words can become familiar, but it's important for us to remind ourselves of what God has done for us. Here's a question we can think about when we consider this. How can I keep from singing? If someone were to look at me, if someone were to see me while I'm singing, and maybe they couldn't hear anything, it would be like watching TV with the volume muted. What would they be able to see from my facial expressions? Would they think that this was something that I wanted to do, that this was something that I was overjoyed to do? Those are some challenging questions for us. If someone was listening to me sing, would they hear me describing the nature of God? Would they hear me describing what God has done? And would I sing it with an enthusiasm that can come from that conviction? How could I keep from singing when I know who God is? And how can I keep from singing when I know whose I am? When I know who I belong to? One of the fascinating things about worship is to see the way in the Old Covenant, the way in which a holy God could dwell with an unholy people was through a tabernacle, through a temple. There were priests that served as a way in which God's people could come before him in worship, and their role was very important. It couldn't be filled by just anybody. God had specific requirements. But then as the Lord establishes his church in the New Testament, something incredible happens. Now, instead of having a physical temple, now the temple is the body of Christ. He's dwelling in his church, both collectively and individually. Scripture describes us, Christians, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, a temple of God. That means I no longer need a mediator in order for me to worship God. I can worship him directly. I can pray to him directly. I can sing praise to God directly. Sometimes we hear the phrase, a priesthood of all believers, as a reminder that all of us are able to do that. I think that's an incredibly powerful privilege that we shouldn't take for granted, that we can come to a place like this and we can worship God in song. And there's something else that happens when we do that together. There's a mutual nature of that that is unifying. I don't know when the last time was you checked news sources or social media, but it seems like every time we turn on the news, every time we see bad news that's happening around us, we're reminded of divisions. We're reminded of ways in which the world is not working the way that it should. But there's something powerfully unifying when we sing together. We see it on a smaller scale. You see it when you go to a sporting event and maybe you've got a certain cheer for your team, or you see someone who's wearing a shirt of the college team you root for, and you say one part of a cheer, and they'll say the other. That there's some kind of mutual understanding there. And then when you get together and you're cheering, maybe you're singing a school's alma mater, there's just something unifying when we come together as Christians. Think about how powerful it is that when we sing words together, we're uniting not just with the Christians that we're currently singing with, but we're singing the same phrases, the same words that Christians have sung for generations. We're part of God's family. And notice how knowing whose we are changes the way that we worship. So in a couple of those passages that we often think of when we think about singing, when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, notice the context here as he describes singing. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk on wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Notice the way as he's describing the mutual nature of Christians who are together, who are singing to one another. It flows from being in step with the Spirit. not being filled with spirits. There were certainly pagan religions in Ephesus that had worship practices that drew from being drunk or drew from drunkenness. That wasn't what characterized Christians. Christians were different. They were led by the Spirit of God. And when that's the way I'm walking, when that's the way I'm living, I'm going to be able, when we come together to worship, to sing in ways that will encourage others. Something similar is found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And notice the reminder that the word of Christ richly dwells within us, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then he goes on to say, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. How does that kind of worshipful life begin? It begins with the word of God dwelling in me. Isn't that interesting that both Ephesians and Colossians passages remind us, if I'm walking by the Spirit, if his Spirit is in me, if I'm spending time in God's word, if God's word is in me, when I know whose I am, I'm going to worship. And it won't only be vertical, it'll also be horizontal. I will be encouraging, teaching, admonishing people around me. Why it's so important to reflect on the words that we're singing. The words to songs matter because we're teaching each other. We're encouraging each other. If people watched me sing, would they know whose I am? Would they know who I belonged to? And how can I keep from singing when I know what I believe? When I know what it is that is able to fuel my faith in God, when I know what God has revealed to me and I want to share it with others, how could I keep from singing about it? If I know that a God who is powerful enough to create everything around loves me enough to care about my soul, then I'll probably have a similar reaction to the psalmist in Psalm 139. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. When I see evidence of creation, when I see evidence of God's power, I'm also seeing evidence of his care for me. How could I keep from singing when I know what God has done for me? When we think about the beauty of creation, the way God has made us, that kind of joy should bubble up in our hearts. Last week, Jonathan led us in a special prayer as we're thinking about and continue to be thinking about the Coggins family on their adoption journey in India. And thankful that Becca has been posting updates to our church Facebook page, and things are progressing well, and so we want to continue to pray that things will progress well and the paperwork will all be what it needs to be. But when you see pictures of the Coggins family and of Avi and everything that's happening, there's just something joyful about seeing those pictures. It just fills you with joy, that same kind of joy that we see whenever love is on display. And when we think about the Father that we serve, love on display for us, it fills us with joy. We know that God sent us his Son, and that's why so many of our songs are messages about Jesus, our messages about what God has done for us. It's too important for us to forget. The gospel is often what sets us singing, and those are sometimes the challenges where words could become routine and familiar, and we forget the depth, the power of what's behind them. If I know what I believe, I won't be able to keep from singing it. And how can I keep from singing when I know what I believe about the kingdom of God? That not only does God love us, not only did God send his Son for us, but he sustains us. That God is the one who guides us through as individuals, as a congregation, that God is the one who leads us through whatever challenges we might face. And we're going to face challenges. And it's going to be so easy. There will be times where something will be in front of me and in my life, and I don't think I'll ever be able to see past it. And it's all I can think about, and it's all I can focus on. Isn't it a blessing to know that God is going to be with me every step of the way, that his church will endure, that as we've already sung, his kingdom is forever? The Hebrews writer would put it this way in Hebrews 12, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. When I realize that nothing can shake the eternal kingdom of God, how can I keep from singing? In fact, as we've looked at these verses, very often verses, whether it's Psalm 105, whether it's Hebrews 12, closely connect our worship of the Almighty God with the description of His power, description of His judgment, a reminder that we're not the ones that are in charge, it's the one who created us who is. And when we know His message, how could we keep from singing it out? I know that sometimes it's hard. We've all been there when we wake up, and maybe it's been a tough morning to get into worship, or maybe it's a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and it's been a tough day. And maybe sometimes we don't put forth the energy that we always know that we should, but isn't it good to be reminded of who God is, of whose we are, of what we believe? And it's my conviction that in a world where there are storms and there are winds that would threaten to blow us in all kinds of different directions, one of the pillars that God has given us, a reminder of who He is, comes when we worship Him. I don't know what kind of wind is blowing through your life today, but it may be that you need to respond to the Creator of the world who sent His Son and cares enough for you to want you to be part of His family. If you'd like to come forward this morning to put Christ on in baptism, we would love to celebrate that moment with you and find out ways we can encourage you in your walk with Christ. It may be that you could use some prayers and encouragement. Right after our worship time here, if you'd like to go out this doorway, a couple of our shepherds are there, and there's a place where they can sit down and talk with you privately and pray with you privately. But it may be that you'd like to come forward and ask for prayers of this congregation of people here. I can assure you, you're with a group of people who love you and would love to encourage you. Let's be sure we remember who God is, whose we are, and what we believe, and that we live like it, and that we sing like it. If there's any way we can help you, please come as we all stand and as we sing together.